Hello, and welcome to the Mom and Mentor podcast. My name is Joyce, and here we talk everything life. So, how was everyone's Easter? I took a little bit of time off to spend with the family, eat some good foods, sleep a little late, all the fun things. So, how was everyone's Easter? I know for me, I ate too much chocolate. So, I'm still coming off that, the chocolate. But it is full into spring here, and I am really excited. The days are longer. There's lots more sunshine. Seeds are started. Seedlings are coming up. And I'm really starting to think ahead about what my cut flower garden is going to look like, what my vegetable beds are going to look like, and some projects that I really want to do for spring, big ones and small ones. The fun thing about projects is you can kind of do them whenever you have time and whatever kind of comes to your fancy. And I don't know about you, but I like to reuse and upgrade stuff that I already have, use recycled materials. I just find that it makes me feel better about the environment. And especially when I'm doing wood projects, it always kind of lends that antique patina to my projects that I really like. So I'm really looking forward to do a lot of stuff for that. I've got some garden benches that I want to build, obviously some more raised planter beds, and really looking forward to the cut flower garden. My goal for this year is to be able to be getting a bouquet between the house garden and the farm garden, a bouquet of flowers a week of many different varieties. It's something I've always wanted to do, and I've never tried. Not sure why, but I haven't. So I'm really excited about that. But on today's podcast, we're going to talk about something a little different. Something that has been, it's been coming a lot up in my social media, and it's something that, you know, I'm going through myself. And so I thought I'd talk about it a little bit. And that is perimenopause and menopause. So there is so much information out there. And even I'm learning so much as I go along. So I'm in my early 50s. I know I don't sound like it. I have a voice like a 16-year-old. But I am full on into menopause and have been for probably, I would say, about a year and a half now. But like many of you who are having the same thing, perimenopause and menopause, I was noticing a lot of changes in my body that I did not like. And there was a lot of conflicting information around, and so I really started to read a little more into it. So I'll kind of tell you what I'm doing and why I'm doing it and the results that I'm having. So one of the things that I had always been afraid of forever, and I'm sure most of you have, is hormone replacement therapy. And up until fairly recently, hormone replacement therapy was really not something that was encouraged. You know, we were kind of told perimenopause, menopause, you just kind of suffer through the hot flashes and the night sweats and the lack of energy and the weight gain and all of that kind of stuff. And it was just, you know, that stage of your life, you know, kind of like when you hit puberty, you just kind of were told to suffer through it. And first of all, that's crap. It really is crap. And hormone replacement therapy was really made to be the bad guy for a long time. And here's why. And here's what I've learned. The reason why that it was made to be bad is because I believe at some point, and I don't know all of this for certain, I've done a little bit of research, because like I said, I've done research for what works for me, is that it was most times people were taking just estrogen supplements, you know, and that, you know, they had seen that there was like a higher risk of some cancers and some other side effects. And recently in the past, I'm going to say decade, there's been a lot of new research out that when you do the hormone replacement therapy that's got the estrogen and the progesterone, like that you're doing both, those risks completely go away. And actually, they improve your risks on other things so that your risk of getting them is even less. So, and I was still a little not skeptical, but I was still a little bit hesitant. But probably about, 6 months ago, I started having what is commonly referred to as frozen shoulder. And so I'd been suffering with the night sweats, and I'd been suffering with the fatigue and the hot flashes and all that, but I was kind of managing it with some, vitamins and, making sure I got all my water and stuff like that. And it was doing good for the most part, and I was really just suffering through the rest. But when I got frozen shoulder, I got it on my right shoulder, which is apparently a very common shoulder to get it on. It significantly was lowering the quality of my life. Like, I was on a slide downhill to the point where it was hard to get myself dressed in the morning, like to put my bra on and to get dressed, to shower effectively, to do my hair was excruciating, because lifting my arm hardly at all would cause excruciating pain. And at a certain point, it wouldn't even lift higher. And so that kind of frightened me a little bit, because I was like, I do not want to spend the rest of my life like this. Like, I'm an active person. I have stuff that I want to do, and none of that involves being basically incapacitated. And so I started to kind of see what was out there. So I did kind of two things at really close together. So the first thing I did, and again, it was a little bit scary, but I did get a cortisone shot in my shoulder just to kind of loosen it up a little bit and reduce the inflammation, after having like a shoulder ultrasound so they could see right where the pinch point was. And that gave me actually quite a significant relief fairly quickly. But that's when I really was like, I think it's time to go on hormone replacement therapy, because I had read a whole bunch of studies and lots of other people's personal experiences where they were having that frozen shoulder, and within weeks or a month of starting the hormone replacement therapy, they could feel the pain starting to subside. And so that actually is what got me talking to my doctor about it. So, and I've been on it for about 3 months now. And first of all, I started feeling relief within days, and not just with the shoulder. I was starting to sleep a little better. I noticed that I was having more energy. I hadn't realized that I'd been suffering with brain fog, which is apparently also very common in perimenopause and menopause, until it was being lifted. And then I was like, whoa, I've been in a fog that I didn't realize. And so that started clearing. And I just started having a better overall sense of well-being. And as I continue to read more about it, I learned that perimenopause can take a long time to go through. So where I was going, oh, I'm noticing some stuff kind of right at menopause, once I was on the hormone replacement therapy and how I was feeling, and compared that to how I'd been feeling for the past at least 10 years, maybe even 15 years, some of those symptoms going away that I kind of brushed under the rug as, oh, I'm just getting older, or, I put on a little bit of weight, and so I'd kind of chalked it up to that. And it wasn't until I was on the hormone replacement therapy and those symptoms started to be relieved that I was going, wow, I've kind of been suffering for a long time. And again, lots of research, and realized that that is very common. Women in their mid to late 30s are starting to feel the onset of these symptoms, and they creep up slowly, and you don't really know what's wrong with you. And it's not like you're sick, and so you go to the doctor. But I really realized that this was something that had been long-term kind of sneaking up on me. And now, like I said, I've been on it for about 3 months, and I'm seeing the reversal of those symptoms. Much clearer thinking. I'm much more focused. I have more energy. I'm not there were days where I'd be like, why am I so tired? You know, I thought I had a good night's sleep. I'm eating good. I've always been a really good, you know, I'm not saying I don't ever eat junk food and I don't ever eat chocolate and I don't ever eat pizza. But for the most part, you know, I'm one of those people that does that kind of 80-20 thing where 80% is clean, 20% is, you know, kind of some splurges, which is great. I take vitamins. And so there really wasn't a reason for any of these kind of things to be happening. Like, why am I feeling tired when I first get up in the morning? Why is it so hard to get started in the morning? Why does it feel like, you know, I want to do things, but I can't focus? You know, why am I feeling a little bit moody? Why am I not doing the things I want to do in life? So my journey so far with hormone replacement therapy has been great. I've been able to step up my fitness. I've been able to sleep better. I have a lot more mental clarity. I'm able to go, I want to do that, and then go do it. And that's really what I wanted for my life. You know, I wanted to be able to follow through, have the energy to try new things, stay physically active. Because let's face it, you know, I'm in my early 50s. That's not old. Like, I know generations ago that was old, like our mothers and our grandmothers, that was when they were getting old. And now I'm starting to think, yeah, because they weren't on hormone replacement therapy. Because let me tell you, had I not started on that, I would be starting to be that old person where I'm not being very active and I'm not doing a lot of things because it honestly just hurt to just get dressed in the morning. Like, there were times I was literally crying, putting my clothes on. You know, there were days where I was like, okay, I'm just going to be around home today, so I won't bother putting on a bra because it was so painful to do that action to put it on. And I can absolutely see how our mothers and our grandmothers were like, okay, like I'm just not capable of doing that stuff anymore, and just chalk it up to, well, I'm getting old. And even if they chalked it up to menopause, it was just, well, that's just the way it is. And now I'm finding it's like, no, it doesn't have to be. And I'm really glad for a lot of resources that are online. And I know social media gets a bad rap for a lot of things, but honestly, women sharing their experiences on social media about this subject has really led me in a lot of positive directions about my own health. So here's what I'm doing now. So I take estrogen and progesterone, and I take them both in pill form, and I take them every day. And so I don't get, and so if you're going, oh, well, I don't want it to start my period again, or I don't want to have like the hormonal waves where I'm like emotional and then I'm crying and then I'm angry, I don't have that because I'm on the same dose every day. And so my hormones stay at a very consistent level. And I don't have my period because the reason you get your period when you have like natural hormones is because estrogen and progesterone dip and peak at different times. And so the higher of estrogen is what will, if I'm understanding this correctly, so I'm hopefully explaining it. I think it's when the estrogen goes up, you're going to get your period. And then when the progesterone goes back up, that's when it stops. And that's why, like, when you're pregnant, you don't get your period because your progesterone is higher because you're pregnant. And so that stops you from having your period. So because I'm on a constant level every day, my hormones don't fluctuate and I don't have my period. I haven't been having migraines, and I used to get hormonal migraines all the time. So even with HRT, I've not gotten migraines. I am not having like adverse skin reactions, like, you know, pimples or, you know, flushed skin or anything like that. And before I continue on, I want to be very clear that these are my experiences of what works for me personally. I worked with my doctor. We did, like I said, ultrasound on the shoulder to find out where the pinch point was, to put the cortisone. We did a full and complete blood panel to measure all the hormones, to see what levels they were at, to see the levels that I needed to be up at. And so this is very much a personal experience, but I really want to encourage, if you are in perimenopause or menopause and you are experiencing any of these symptoms, go and talk to your doctor and get the tests and see where your levels are at and see what can be done so that you can head that off at the pass. Because, you know, I was very into frozen shoulder before I started this. So I'm working my way out of it. It's going very well, but it's still a process. I would have liked to have this information before so that I could have avoided this, but it's neither here nor there. Some of the other things I'm also doing, and it has also been recommended for people that are in perimenopause and menopause, is a couple things. So like I said, this is not medical advice. These are things that worked for me because I've done research that's applicable to me. But some of these are general things that have been mentioned. So one of them is to get enough protein in a day. And I know us as women have a hard time with that. So I have a little protein tracker on my phone so I can enter all my stuff in. But get protein at every meal. So you should be try to get 100 grams or more of protein in a day. Protein at every meal, just protein, protein, protein. Don't obsess about like the carbs and the fat and all that kind of stuff, because honestly, and I can speak from personal experience, when you are getting 100, 120 grams of protein, that's already a lot of food. I promise you're not going to have a lot of leftover room in your wanting of food to be stuffing all that crap in there that you don't want to have. 110, 120 grams of protein is a lot of food in a day. It will keep you very full. It will keep you energized. The other thing I take is I take 5 milligrams of creatine. So it's a powder. So in my protein smoothie in the morning, because I'm not a breakfast eater. So the first thing I have when I get up is I have my protein shake, which is 25 grams of protein. Plus I add the 5 grams of creatine in there as well. So that gives me a great start of my protein in the morning to start my day. And then I have things like overnight oats, I boiled eggs and tuna, and peas are a good source of protein, red meat, chicken, good sources of protein. So if you're doing all that at every meal, trust me, you're not sitting there going, oh, I'd like to eat a bag of chips or I'd like to eat 5 donuts. You're full. I'm not saying you'll never want a donut, but I promise you, you're not going to have that big sugar, oh, I could eat 4 donuts. Like before I was doing all this, I could probably eat 4 donuts just in one sitting because my body was so starved of something. It's like, give me some kind of energy. But when you're getting all that protein, yeah, you might have a donut, but you're not going to eat 4 because first of all, you're full. And second of all, your body is not in that crave, starvy, hungry state all the time. So I start my day out with my protein shake with my creatine. I also take, I like to flavor my water because I don't honestly like the taste of just plain water. I'm one of those people. So I do a lot of powdered supplements in my water because I'm supposed to drink, you know, like 100 ounces of water a day as well. And I don't like the taste of water. So drinking that much water is a real big freaking chore if it's going to be plain. So I take the opportunity to, I've got vitamin C powder that tastes amazing that I put in my water, and I can have that in my supplements. I also, in the evening when I'm having my water, I will mix some magnesium powder in it. I have magnesium glycinate powder that I put in my water, and it's got a little bit of a flavor in it as well. So I'm getting the flavored water, which is encouraging me to drink more, but I'm also getting those nutrients because they're important too. That creatine, the vitamin C, the magnesium, those are all very important for perimenopause and menopausal women. Probably for all women, but we're just talking about this now. The other supplement I take is I take a vitamin D3 K2 because that is very important for the functioning of our brains and our bodies, and it helps us to use all the other vitamins and nutrients we're bringing into our body properly. I also take a calcium supplement and a B complex, and that's it. And so a couple of like pill vitamins, but a lot of stuff I've found powders that I could mix into drinks. And I also have a collagen one that I do too, that I, you know, it's just for hair and skin and nails and anything to help the joints, I'm in for. And that one's flavorless, so I can be adding, like, so I can have a vitamin C one and then add the collagen into it, or I can add the collagen to my morning shake, or, you know, some people I know add it to their coffees, you know, that kind of thing. Getting those protein and that level of water and those vitamins and minerals into my body, I have noticed that I feel more alert. I have more energy, and my nails do feel better. My hair does feel better. My skin does feel better, and my joints do feel better. I feel like I'm not getting old anymore. I feel like I can do more trips to the gym. I can do longer walks outside. I can work out all day in the garden if I want. You know, I can spend a day power cleaning my house or doing some spring cleaning. And having had a period of time, like I said, recently with that frozen shoulder, where there was almost nothing I could do in a day some days, to where I feel like I'm kind of back, where I can have all that movement and I can have all that, it is such a joy to have back. Like, I don't take it for granted now. And with the HRT and the it's not a diet. That's the thing, is it's not a diet. I am not concerned like my 20-year-old counterparts are with how I look in a bathing suit. And that's a product of age and maturity. Not gonna lie, it really is. Because when I was in my 20s and 30s, I was absolutely concerned with those things. But here's the thing. It's one of those things that when you stop obsessing about it, it just kind of comes along. Because when you treat your body properly, getting enough protein, having enough water, getting the vitamins and minerals that you need, getting out and having walks, going to the gym, going for swims, going out with friends, your mental health increases, your physical health increases, and you will find it's not going to happen fast, but your body just starts getting rid of the shit that it doesn't need. The excess weight, the bloating that maybe you suffered from, you know, all of those things. And I'm so glad that I did not suffer for years with frozen shoulder and all of these other things before I started, you know, turning back the clock, so to speak. Because even just the 4 or 5 months that I was suffering felt like an eternity. Like, it felt like I wanted to give up. And that's just not where I want to be in my 50s. Your 40s and 50s are some of the best decades of your life. I don't know about 60s yet, because I'm not there yet, but I'm going to assume when I get there, if I keep doing what I'm doing now, that I'm going to feel great then too. And that's what I want. And that's where we should be at, trying to get our bodies to be as strong as they can, to be able to do everything we want to do in a day without tapping out on us, without going, no, I'm done, can't do anymore. We want to be able to do everything in a day that we want to do the projects we want to do, go for the walks with friends, go for the swimming, go to the gym. Here's the other thing that I learned, again, about going to the gym. Because I know, again, in our 20s and 30s, we were all like, every time we go to the gym, an hour of cardio and then a little bit of weights and blah, blah, blah. And that has been proven that that is actually not a good way to get your body strong and lean. So, and it's hard because for decades, you know, we've been kind of ingrained in that. So it kind of feels weird to just let that go. But the best way to do it is to concentrate on that weight training, lift weights, however you can, whenever you can, 2-3 times a week. And then some cardio. And you don't have to be going, well, I'm going to do, you know, I'm going to start running 5 miles a day. You don't have to. You don't have to. To be in good physical condition, it doesn't take that much cardio. And it's way more important to be lifting weights. So, and here's the thing. That might not be you in the gym with weights. You might be moving heavy boxes around your house for a day. That was weight training. Not traditionally, you know, it's great if you can have some weights at home or go to a gym and do some like kind of formal stuff, but don't negate the day that you spent, you know, moving boxes up 2 different flights of stairs or, you know, maybe you had to schlep, you know, 20 bags of soil from the vehicle to the garden area. That's weight. You picked up something and carried it around. That's your body using its big muscles. And doing that gives your body what it needs to stay active and loose and lubricated so that you're not stiff and sore and broken. It also keeps those muscles strong. And in case you've missed the last 5 decades of physical science, sports science, muscles burn more calories, energy, all of that other stuff than fat. So you want to have muscle on your body. So that's why the weight training. And weight training makes your bones stronger, makes your muscles stronger. It makes you feel stronger. It makes endorphins run through your body so that you feel powerful and strong. And that's good for your mental health, which again, perimenopause and menopause, it likes to give us a big old kick in the ass of our mental health because we just don't feel as resilient as before. We just don't have the energy as before. And so that makes us sad and depressed and, you know, just not feeling like we can do those things. And so I'm on this really great journey and I'm not always good. I don't always make it to the gym. I don't always, you know, go for the walk that I told myself I was going to go on to, but I do it most of the time. And I'm also trying new things. I actually recently signed up to do a pottery class, you know, where you spin it on the wheel. So much fun. I'm so not good at it yet. But it's a fun learning experience to try something new, to go to a class once a week and just learn a new skill. I may, when this class is done, take up pottery as a hobby that I do all the time, or I may never touch it again. But what I am certain of is that I am going to enjoy the fact that I went to this class, and I'm enjoying every class as I'm going as well. And that's the thing. We want to still be able to have the energy and the motivation and even just the physical well-being to go and try those new experiences. You know, maybe you've always wanted to go hiking and you get a couple girlfriends together and you guys go on weekly 5K hikes. You know, you don't want to be not able to do that because your body isn't capable of doing it. That, you know, you have to say, oh no, like I wouldn't be able to do that. And I was in that space just a few months ago before I started all this. And I'm so glad that I'm back. And so if somebody invites me for a 5K hike, I can say, yeah, I can come and do that. You know, let's go do that. If my friends want to be like, oh, hey, we're going to go, you know, just walk around town or we're going to go, I wouldn't play golf because I don't like golf, but I would probably go and walk with them while they played golf. You know, I can play some tennis. I can play a little pickleball. I can go swimming. All those things are on the table for me. And they were starting to be not on the table for me just a few months ago. And that was very disheartening. That was very disheartening. It was really hard to have to do that. And it was only for a couple months. And I can't imagine having to go through it for years. And I'm really glad that I found a solution that worked for me. And I'm so grateful, like I said, for all of the women and the professionals, because it's not just regular women that are sharing their experiences and the solutions that have worked for them on social media. There's actual medical professionals. I wish I could remember her name, but she's on TikTok and she is actually, she's an OBGYN and a perimenopause and menopause specialist. So her whole practice is women's health and she's specializing in this particular arena. So she knows all the ins and outs. She's a little bit farther like in age wise than I am. So she's had a lot of these experiences herself. She's had patients, she's had friends, she's had peers that have had these experiences too. So she's up on the latest studies and treatments and, you know, exercises that you can try to keep your mobility going, and just, and she's very positive and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm very grateful for those people that are out on social media, because I honestly think that had that not be, there's a very good chance that I would have probably suffered in silence for a lot longer than I did. I probably wouldn't have gone to the doctor and go, hey, I hear that this frozen shoulder thing that I've got going is related to perimenopause, so let's check my levels and let's get some treatment going. And make no mistake, it's not because your doctor may not care enough about you. It's just when they see patients all day, you know, they're not thinking of all the things. You know, your shoulder might hurt, so okay, let's get it looked at because maybe you've injured it. Like, they're not thinking of all the things. And if you're not telling them all the other things you're experiencing, they also don't have a full picture. But when you can come to them and go, look, I'm in perimenopause, these are the symptoms I'm having, I also have this, I've heard this from medical professionals, can we do this test? Can we try this out? Be your own advocate for your health, because this is the stage in our life where we want to have our mobility. We want to have our health. Our children have grown. They're graduating from high school, or maybe they already have, and you are at that empty nest stage. And what an awfully shitty ticket that would be if you were like, okay, well, now because I'm so sore and exhausted and emotionally broken, all I can do is sit around my house and wait till the clock ticks out. You know, we don't want that. We want to be like, okay, we've raised our kids and they're going off to college or off into their lives, so now our lives can be more personally centered. You know, maybe you've had a divorce and you're like, okay, my kids are grown, I don't have a spouse, I'm a single woman, an empty nester, and I want to have like a more adventurous life. Maybe I want to travel. Maybe I want to start hiking. Maybe I do want to start weight training a little bit more regularly. You want to be able to do that. You want to have a full life. Maybe you want to travel to France. Maybe you want to take a pottery class. Maybe you want to take a painting class. Maybe you want to start fencing, like the sword fencing. And this can be the most fun and active and amazing time in our life where we're growing personally. Like, our skills are building, we're learning more hobbies, we're meeting new friends, we're strengthening old friendships, and we're really stepping into our own lives where, for once, we're centering ourselves in our decisions and our life and our plans than we've ever been able to before. And you don't want to not be able to participate in that because it hurts you to get out of bed. And if I hadn't experienced this myself and somebody would have said, oh yeah, this happens, and then, you know, you can get frozen shoulder and you can get where you're aching so bad it hurts to get out of bed, I would be like, well, no, like, I eat great and I'm fairly active, so I'm probably not going to have this happen. And when it happened to me, I was shocked. I was like, how is this happening after all of the good things I've been doing? Because we really don't understand how vital those hormones are for keeping our body working in its peak condition, and how our hormones are not just about having a period and being able to get pregnant. That is not their entire function. And we've kind of been left with the impression over years from different sources that that's it. That's what our hormones mean. When you get your hormones, you get your period. And when you stop getting the hormones, you stop getting your period. And that's the entire story. And I can tell you from, like I said, personal experience, it is not. It affects how you stand, how your joints move, how your skin feels, how your food is being digested, how your brain is working, you know, how well you're sleeping, how well you're coping with environmental stresses, how well you're coping with emotional stresses. And having been in that deficit, and then where I'm really kind of knee deep in a system that works for me, it is night and day. Like, I feel emotionally and physically more like I did when I was 35, which was like coming up on 17 years ago. That's a big difference. That's a big difference. You know, so those of you who are in your 50s, like, how did you feel when you were 35? You know, were you concerned with knee pain of going up and down stairs? Were you, you know, worried about hot flashes and not getting good enough sleep and not, you know, always having some sort of gastrointestinal thing going on. Was that something on your mind? Because I know it wasn't for me. It was not on my radar. It was not part of my life. And it's not something I even considered. And now I'm back to that. And I am excited of the things I'm going to continue to be able to do as I get older. Because I want getting older to be a number that ticks higher, not something that's measured on the deterioration of my body. And yes, I do understand that eventually my body is going to start, you know, like I'm not going to be still, you know, maybe I will be. Who knows? I was going to say maybe I won't be lifting weights at 80, but you know what? Maybe I will be, because I've seen women that are lifting weights at their 80. I've seen women who are jogging with their sons when they're 80. So who knows? It just depends. But I'm not just going to go quietly into the night. I fought to get my health back, and I'm fighting to keep it that way. And I'm so glad that I did, because I feel a million times better than I did 6 months ago. You know, like I said, I feel more like I did when I was 35, 37. So if that's something that you're struggling with, do the research, see your doctor, get the tests run, and see how maybe some vitamin supplements and some hormone therapy may be able to play a part in you, you know, kind of freshening up your insides. You know, we always talk about, oh, I'm going to get collagen and I'm going to get a little Botox and I'm going to get this, that, and the other, because we're trying to refresh our outsides. This is like the refreshing of the inside. And yeah, I don't think any amount of Botox or collagen could feel as good as going from feeling like I was almost crippled to being back to my old self. And I don't think anything could feel that good. So if that's something that you're struggling with, whether you've just started or you're knee deep into it, talk to your medical professional and see what options are there for you. See what vitamins that, you know, you might want to start taking. See maybe if hormone therapy is the right answer for you. And just see. So yeah, so that's my excitement. But as always on the Mama Mentor podcast, take what works and toss the rest, because life is too short to be told what to do. And especially when it comes to medical stuff, like, you know, I've said for this whole episode, what I've been telling you is what has worked for me after working with my medical professionals. So I can't speak to whether it's going to work for you, because I don't know what your conditions are. And you shouldn't just be like, oh, well, Joyce from the Mama Mentor podcast said I should be doing this and this and this. No, because that may not be right for you. But I know that this is right for me. And I would encourage you to just take a health evaluation of how you're feeling, where your energy's at. You know, are you having good sleeps? Are you having gastrointestinal issues? Are you tired? Are you achy? And if those are things that you're going through, you don't have to continue to suffer. You can do things that can alleviate those things, that can make you feel better and give you back the energy that you had before. Perimenopause and menopause is not the end of our fun being a woman time. It's just a time where we change to doing different things. And I personally think that the generation of women that are in our 50s and those coming up to our 50s are going to be the most active, the most personally developed, and well-rounded women that our society has ever seen, because we are at a time where we are taking those art classes. We are traveling with our girlfriends on trips to Europe. We are going on hikes in the mountains. We are going on camping trips. We are learning new skills, and that is making us happier and just more life fulfilled than any generation before us. And so don't let your health be the thing that drags you to the back of the pack or makes you feel like you can't do it or you have to be left out of this. So on that note, I hope you all have a wonderful week. and that you are enjoying the weather where you're at. Take care, and we will see you in the next one. Bye.